It's good to have all of you here in our class today. Such a beautiful day, isn't it? It's wonderful to be alive, to enjoy the good, wonderful blessings God showers upon us. So glad that you're with us. If you will please be opening your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be looking at four or five verses in chapter 4, beginning at verse 35 through 41. I'll read these verses and then we'll go back. And our study today is on this topic, the Master of the Deep, as we continue our look at the Gospel of Mark and the great events that characterized our Lord's ministry while he was on earth. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, as we are looking at these events in the life of our Lord, that day had been a long and difficult day for our Master. The events that had occurred that day had begun back in Mark chapter 3 at verse 20. He had begun the day with a confrontation with the Pharisees. It's always a difficult thing when you are confronted by those individuals like the Pharisees, always finding fault, trying to criticize our Lord, finding things to criticize. His friends and family thought he had gone crazy because of all the things that were happening, and they had come to rescue him. So that was a part of the day as well. And he had been teaching the people in parables. And after he would teach the people, then he would get his disciples aside for a little while and explain the meaning of the parable. Well, during the day, Jesus sat in a little boat just off the shore of Galilee. He made that boat his pulpit. As he taught the people there, the great multitudes that had gathered there to hear him. And when the day was over, he called his disciples to set sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so when darkness fell, the disciples were on their way across the sea, across the other side. That was a very small sea in a sense, about 13 miles long and about 7 or 8 miles wide. But he's on his way to the other side, and the disciples are steering the boat. Jesus went to sleep in the back of the boat, in the stern of the boat. So, I see in that, don't you, the humanity of our Lord. While he was here on this earth, he lived in the flesh. He experienced what you experience. He became weary. He was tired from that busy day that he had just experienced. So he went to sleep in the back of the boat. The disciples are guiding the boat across the sea. So, isn't it wonderful to know that we have a Savior who's been where we are? A Savior who has walked in our shoes. That is to say, he's experienced all the things that we experience. The struggles, the trials, even the temptations. He was tempted in all points like as we are. It's great to know we have such a Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Now, most of the Lord's disciples were used to being on the Sea of Galilee. After all, they were fishermen. And some of the events that's going to occur that particular night that we're going to look at here in just in the next few minutes would change their lives forever. They had a glimpse into what that Savior, their Lord, was all about and what he could do. And this is one of about four miracles that we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. And these great miracles demonstrated before his disciples and before us that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God, with all power. And so that night in the storm, the disciples found themselves in the fight of their lives. They experienced the Lord's power to deliver them, and they lived to tell the tale. They could tell to others what the Savior had done for them that night, how he had delivered them. I would like for us to sort of, if we could, in our imagination here this morning, put ourselves in that boat with our Lord's disciples going across that sea. And so let's sort of get ourselves into the situation as we study this lesson in the next few minutes. There are three things I want us to see. Number one, the power of the storm. Number two, the problem of the storm. And number three, the purpose of the storm. Now, looking at the power of the storm, notice verse 37, and observe the suddenness of that storm. There arose a great storm of wind. Incidentally, storms like that were very common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is a very unusual body of water. I have been privileged, and I'm thankful for that, to go around the sea and across the sea on a boat. As I said a while ago, it's about 13 miles long, about 7 miles wide, but it's 150 feet deep. It has 680 feet of shoreline, and it's that many feet below sea level. And because the Sea of Galilee is below sea level, it's surrounded by mountains. And it's susceptible to sudden storms. Winds would sweep across those mountains, and it would create a sort of a downdraft over the lake. And when it was combined with a thunderstorm, suddenly, fierce winds could arise, and the waves were often 15 to 20 feet high, even there on that Sea of Galilee, a very small sea. And the storms did not usually happen at night. But if you notice here in the text, they're crossing the sea, and these things occur at night. They can't see where the shore is. They can't see where the other little boats are. And with this very sudden storm, they are frightened nearly to death. Exceedingly fearful, it is said. Now, let's pause a moment and think about life. Storms are very much that way in our lives. They occur suddenly. Things are great one moment, and then the next moment the bottom falls out. One minute we're enjoying the finest of weather, and the next minute we find ourselves in a storm. Give you what I'm talking about, just one phone call, or a 24-hour period, or one doctor's visit. One tick of the clock, and suddenly there you are in the storm of your life. Now, that, I guess, shouldn't surprise us, because didn't Job say, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble? Storms occur in our lives. And maybe you're thinking right now, well, my life is just A-OK. everything is rosy and wonderful. And if that be the case, enjoy it. Enjoy it, because who knows what's around the corner. Now, the suddenness of it. But now look at the severity of the storm. The text says that the ship was now full. It was filling up. You know, it's all right when the ship is on the water, but when the water gets in the ship, that's a real problem. So here you have these seasoned fishermen, and they are frightened by the severity of the storm. You can imagine the ship is rocking and reeling. It's getting full of water, and they are afraid. They are about to go down. They are to sink with the ship. So it was a violent storm, and it's nighttime. Nighttime always compounds everything, doesn't it? Let's learn something from this. When the storms of life come, they're often severe, and they cause us great anguish and great pain. There is the pain of suffering. Some individuals live every day with indescribable pain. In my own life, I've been very blessed to this point not to have much pain. Until a few days ago, I had my first toothache. Now I can identify. I can sympathize. So severe that I went to the dentist. And the dentist x-rayed it, found I have an abscess. So I'm able to function here this morning because of pain pills. And some penicillin trying to get rid of that infection or that abscess. And then what's coming is a root canal. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? But storms of suffering. But many people, as I think about it, live with pain every day. And then still others are dealing with the storm of sorrow. Something has happened in their lives. Maybe a friend or a loved one, a parent, as we heard this morning, the case of Brother Tim's father, is called away, and it leaves us grief-stricken. It leaves us, you know, shaken by the loss. And that kind of sorrow touches the lives of all of us. Now, still others, I think, are dealing with the storm of sin. Sin. You know, sin, often when it comes into our life or when we are involved in sin, promises great things. Sometimes it's momentary gratification, you know, something that we are really enjoying. But here's the nature of sin. It soon displays its dark side. It'll rip through your life like a tornado. And it brings damage and destruction. And the only way it can be repaired is by the blood of the Son of God, who can forgive us of that sin and deal with that sin problem in our lives. So storms come into every life. They bring fear. They bring anxiety and pain. So we've looked at the suddenness of it. We've seen the severity of it. Now, what's the source of our storms? Why do we have this storm? Why did this particular experience come into my life? You know, that's a tough question to deal with, isn't it? Now, it may have been a natural storm here. After all, as I've already said this morning, the Sea of Galilee was susceptible to storms of that nature. However, what about our storms? Sometimes we are greatly responsible for the storms that come into our lives. That is our behavior, our conduct. But that's not always the case. Sometimes I believe storms come to correct us. Storms come to discipline us. David could say, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word, Psalm 119. David learned from the struggles and storms that he experienced, and learning from it makes us better people. Hebrews chapter 12 has a great paragraph on God's chastening, the discipline of God in our lives. Just like the fathers in this earth discipline us to correct us and instruct us, even so our Heavenly Father often instructs, trains us. In fact, that's the word used in Hebrews chapter 12. That we are made better when we can look upon our storms as God training us, strengthening us, making us better people. As we've said many times, one can even become bitter or better depending upon the attitude that we have toward the things we experience in life. And then there is another source. I believe that Satan often places in our way things that are designed to destroy us. Peter said that your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is our enemy. He's our greatest enemy. And Satan is alive and well. So sometimes, you know, the source is ourselves of the storm that we experience. Sometimes God uses storms in our lives to better us and help us and strengthen us. And then sometimes Satan sends storms into our lives to devour us. You recall the Apostle Paul had a storm. The storm he identified as a thorn in the flesh. Now, God allowed it, but Paul called it a messenger of Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it gave him a great deal of problems, great amount of trouble. He prayed God earnestly to remove that thorn. God's answer was, no, but I'll give you the grace to bear it. Sometimes things cannot be totally changed in our lives, but our God is a God of love and concern, and He'll give us the grace to bear it, the grace to live with it. In Paul's case, it was good for Paul because it kept him more humble. In view of the great revelations that he received from the Lord, there was perhaps a tendency for Paul to become a bit arrogant. And Paul's own testimony was, God's grace was sufficient for me. Now, let's move now to the power of the storm. You know, the greatest storm that night on the Sea of Galilee was not that physical wind. The greatest storm that night was in the hearts of these disciples. This storm on the sea whipped up a storm of doubt within them that threatened to drown them all. Let's look at some of the doubts. And while that storm was raging, Jesus was fast asleep in the ship. So they ran to him and they awakened him. The word awaken means to arouse from sleep. Now, I believe here is some things that we need to see. Let's examine the doubts of these men today. And as we do, let's bring it home to us. First of all, they apparently doubted his goodness. They ask, don't you care? Carest thou not that we perish? They seem to be saying to the Lord, Lord, you're asleep. You really don't care what's happening to us. Now, wonder why they had this doubt. Had not they already seen the Lord conquering demons earlier in the Gospel of Mark? Had not they seen our Lord overcoming and healing all manner of diseases? Had not they seen our Lord dealing with depravity? So why this doubt? And when they faced with this particular storm, it says that they were afraid. They were afraid. And I'm sure that if we'd been in the boat, we would have been afraid too. Now, before we get too hard on the disciples here, let's think about ourselves, our own hearts. Have there been times in our lives when the storms were raging that you question whether God knew where you were? Have you questioned God's concern for you? I have an idea that many of us have. And there's something here for us to understand. You might not have said it out loud like the disciples did here in the boat, but I'm sure there have been times in your flesh when you cried out, "Lord, don't you care about what is happening to me, where I am?" Jesus cares. You know, we sing that song, "Does Jesus Care?" And I've observed that normally it is sung on a funeral occasions. But we need to be aware of the fact that our Lord cares not just on occasions when we've lost a loved one, but He cares about you right now. He cares about what you are facing right now. He cares about the struggles that you face. Maybe struggles with members of your family, struggles with various kinds of health problems, struggles with domestic problems, maybe struggles with financial problems. The Lord cares. The Lord cares. And listen, He didn't save us to abandon us. And He did not call His disciples to abandon them in the storm. They doubted His grace. They said, "We perish." Remember, it was Jesus who had sent them on to the sea in the first place. It was our Lord who said to them, "We're going over on the other side." So He had made very clear the purpose. We're going to the other side. And where Jesus directs us, He is able to take us. They doubted His guarantee. Let's pass over to the other side. He'd already told these men what was going to happen. He told them before the journey started that they were headed to the other side. Did they believe His words? Now, we need to take a good look often at the promises of God and realize that what He has promised, He's able to perform. Aren't you grateful for promises like this? "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Wasn't it wonderful for the disciples of Jesus in the first century to remember the promise that He made when He gave the Great Commission? Told them to go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And listen to this. "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The word "always" there suggests literally all of the days. Now, there were days like Pentecost. That was a great day. Look at the effects of the gospel that day. 3,000 people responded to the invitation of our Lord. But then move on a little farther into the book of Acts. What about that day when Peter was arrested and James had been killed by Herod? And they're meeting there at the home of Mary in Jerusalem. And they're having a prayer meeting on behalf of these disciples. You see, the Lord is with us all the days. Days of gladness, days of joy, days of happiness. But He's with us also in the shadows. He's with us in the days of our struggle. He's with us all of the days. So we've seen the power of the storm, the problem of the storm. Now quickly, the purpose of the storm. These disciples learned some things that day. Very, very important. They made some discoveries that night on the Sea of Galilee. Here's one discovery they made. They discovered the greatness of his power. The storm terrified these men, but that was no problem to the Lord, who is the Lord and the master of the waves and of the sea. And the Lord, with just some words, calmed the sea. Peace, be still, he could say. They discovered the marvelous power of our God, of our Lord. They made discoveries about his promises. Just as he said, they passed over. They didn't go under. They passed over. They didn't go under. Why? Because that was his promise. So they discovered that night on the sea that he's true to his word, that his promises are as good as his word. They made discoveries that night about his presence. Listen, when the Lord is in your vessel, you have an advantage. At verse 36, there were also with him other little ships. There were many boats on that sea that night, but only one contained the Lord of glory. That boat was the place to be. And I think that says something to us. There is that ship of Zion on which we sail. We're on our way to an unseen port. That unseen port is heaven. Now, we've not experienced it, but we're preparing for it. And heaven is real. We learn about it in the Word of God. There are many beautiful pictures of what heaven will be like, but we've not yet experienced that. But we're on our way, and we're in this ship, the ship of Zion, the church of our Lord Jesus. Christ is the head of it. And he's in it, and he's over it. What consolation that brings to us as we experience all the various problems in this life. How thankful we ought to be. I want to close our lesson this morning. I don't know the nature of your storm. I have mine, you have yours. But I know who can calm it. I know who is the master of the deep. And that's what the focus is in these verses. If it is a storm of suffering, our Lord ultimately will relieve our pain. Isn't it great to know that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes? Isn't it great to see those promises of eternal rest? Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That is, they're in the boat where Jesus is. For they shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. If your storm today is a storm of sorrow, the master of the deep can comfort your soul. If your storm today is the storm of sin, he's the only one who can fix it. We cannot fix that ourselves, but he can deliver us and set us free. He can provide the liberty, the freedom that we all long for. So, as we close this lesson, we hear our Lord say, "Peace, be still." And how comforting that is to all of us as we're involved in our storms. Thank you for being with us here this morning. Let's bow. Dear Father, we're so thankful for these words that have been preserved for us here in Mark's account of the gospel. We're thankful for the Lord, our Savior, who is able to calm the winds and the waves. We're thankful for the purpose and the direction that he gives us. We're thankful that in him and through him, we can go over and not under. So keep us in the hollow of your hand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.